Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Romans 8:1. Praise you, God. Isn't it good to live for God? Just keep getting brighter and brighter. Just go up higher. You don't have bad times to look forward to if you're living for Him. Our future is just keeps getting brighter. Just keeps going higher and higher as we go on with Him. Because we put His Word into practice, we know more of it. Our minds are renewed. The longer you walk with Him, the more of your mind is renewed to His Word. The more it becomes part of your life. So your life is changing all the time. If you're walking with Him, your life is changing. It's getting closer. You're being conformed to the image of the Christ. And so naturally, the more you walk like Jesus, the more your life goes up, is better. More glory, more light in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to read some things about condemnation to you. To condemn. Condemnation just means that something has been condemned, is in the state of being condemned, feeling condemned, but condemn. I'm going to read you all these, some definitions and some words related. So just listen. Don't try to write everything down. Get the recording, and you can write it because there's a lot to write down here. Just let your heart receive it and listen. To say in a strong and definite way that someone or something is bad or wrong. Now notice, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is what we're saying. To condemn is to say in a strong and definite way that someone or something is bad or wrong. To give someone an unusually severe punishment. To cause someone to suffer or live in difficult or unpleasant conditions. Actual definitions of it in Webster's. To declare to be reprehensible, wrong, or evil, usually after weighing evidence and without reservation. You know, a policy is condemned. To pronounce guilty, to convict. Sentence, doom, to condemn a prisoner to die. To judge unfit for use or consumption, like to condemn an old apartment building. Now listen to this. Let me give you some related words to condemn. This will paint a picture. Attack, blame, blast, criticize, dispraise, fault, knock, pan, slam, belittle, deprecate, disparage, doom, sentence, convict, blacklist, excommunicate, ostracize, castigate, chastise, rebuke, reprimand, reproach, admonish, chide, reprove, berate, scold, upbraid, curse, abhor, abominate, detest, hate, loathe, revile. That's condemn. That's what this is talking about. Condemnation. What do you feel like when you're under condemnation? You feel attacked. You feel unfit for use. You feel criticized, blamed. We could go all through this list. You're guilty. You're messed up. You're not fit. You're unworthy. You're unholy. Condemnation is a horrible thing to live under. Now, some opposites. Approve, endorse, sanction, exalt, extol, glorify, laud, praise, acclaim, applaud, commend, hail, salute, tout, consecrate, hallow, sanctify, honor, revere. That's the opposite. It paints quite a different picture. That's exalting you, saying, look at this. This person has been good. Praise. Extol. Complete opposite of you're unfit. This building's going down. It's the difference between a new high-rise. You know, look at this. Look what they've built. Too, that building is going to get the wrecking ball. And this is the same way with us in our life. What we live under, if we take condemnation and you live under, you may not say it, but it can be right in the forefront of your mind, or it can be just a peripheral thing where you just feel condemned. Not quite right, not quite worthy. You're doing your best. You might smile to other people. They may not know what's going on, but you don't feel fit for use. You feel like you failed. You feel like you're not worthy. You feel like I'm messed up. I'm not quite equal to other people. That's a horrible place to walk. But that's where the enemy would have us to walk and keep you there, because if you feel like that, you will not. A person will not fulfill the plan of God for his or her life. Doesn't matter how, if you're under this, if a person is under this condemnation constantly, it doesn't matter what success you achieve, it will be momentary. I did well here, but you still feel dirty. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Something else is going to go bad. I did this, but I'm going to mess something up. This isn't going to hold. It looks like somebody likes me, but they're going to reject me. Looks like I got a promotion, but I'm probably going to fail at that level, and I'm going to go down. It's horrible. It's just feeling unfit. Not quite whole. Everybody else is better than me, and this is what the enemy tries to do to each Christian. If he can get us feeling like that, he's got us. We're not bold. We don't hold our head up high when we're under condemnation. You can feel this as a parent. If you're a parent, have you ever felt like, I am not fit to be a parent? I blew that one. I think everyone has sometime felt like, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I mean, that's one of the hardest jobs in the world. You can feel it at your job. You can feel like I'm not quite measuring up. You can feel it as a child. I never do everything right. You can feel it in any number of other relationships. You can feel it in church. You shouldn't feel it in church. But what we have to know is condemnation is not for the Christian, but the enemy, Satan, is constantly trying to make us feel that way and to stay there. And he will look for opportunities, and we need to know how to play this. It's not a game, but you need to know what's going on. You need to not be ignorant of his devices. Because if he can get you into that mode, you just feel like going back to bed and not getting up. Right? Condemnate. Why should I get up? I don't feel like going on. You mark it. If you feel like that anytime, depression, all these things that go with it, a big root of it is condemnation. Somewhere you felt unfit. You messed up. You didn't deal with it according to the word somehow. And you let the enemy get a foothold to where you feel unfit. And now you can try to gloss over it, but it will stay with you. Unless you deal with it according to the word, it will stay with you and it will trip you up. And you look at the different things. You end up going, you know, getting angry at work or not handling something with your kids or, you know, any number of things. A lot of times it's condemnation that got you. Did something, you felt bad, you didn't deal with it, and it just festered. You end up getting depressed over things. Why do people get depressed? Because they're focusing on something negative. Why are they focusing on something negative? Something is causing them to look away from God and goodness and to look at negative things and what I did wrong, and this situation is never going to change and it's bleak. And if anybody focuses on that type of stuff for long enough, you will become depressed. That's the way our minds are set up to work. You can't focus on the negative for a prolonged period of time without it affecting you. On the other hand, you can look away from that and look on the positive, and when you know who you are in Christ and know what the Word says and know how to deal with it when you don't quite do things right, then you can keep your head up high and keep going and enjoy life. So many times, depression and things like that come because the reason we're not looking at the positive is because a lot of times the condemnation pushes us away from the Lord. If you don't know what's going on, it makes you feel, and this is the tactic of the enemy. He's trying to push us away and create a barrier between us and the Lord, because the Lord is our help. We can do nothing apart from Him. And if we think He's mad at us and we don't want to go to Him, we have a problem. Because now we're on our own. And now you try to go and confront some things in life on your own. It leads to all kinds of problems. Let's turn over there. Revelation. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 10. We read some of these last week. We're going in a different vein last week, but there are some things related. Revelation 12, verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.'" The accuser of the brethren, Satan is called. This is what he does. He goes about accusing. He'll accuse you. He'll constantly tell you you don't measure up, even if you're doing fine. But if you know you messed up, watch out. If you don't know how to deal with it, he will come at you and beat you up left and right. You think you're beating yourself up? You know, you're beating yourself up with a hammer? I can't believe I did that. He'll take that and he'll say, "No, that's not big enough." And he'll give you a sledgehammer and says, "Now use this. This is what you need to be using." No, he'll let you beat your brains out and he'll stand right there and help you. He'll show you videos of what you did. He'll show it to you and go, "Look at you. Look what you did. Does that look like somebody that deserves the blessing of God? Look at your pitiful self." And then you get to the end, he said, "Here, watch it again." And put you through it again and show you in detail how you blew it and how you don't deserve to be blessed. How you don't deserve God's love. It's wicked. He is an accuser. Let's look on your sheet there for the next scripture. In Ephesians 4:26. It says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." Don't give him place. Nor give place to the devil. Well, if he could just do anything he wanted to do, you wouldn't have to say that. He would just come in and take the place. But no, as a Christian, the devil does not have authority over us. He is the God of this world, but he's not the God over the Christian. But we have to know our rights and privileges. We need to know how to deal with him. And so we don't want to give him place, because he's the accuser. You give him place, you give him an inch, he'll take 1,000 miles. He just destroys. The Bible calls him the destroyer. He's the thief. He will come in and destroy wherever he is given a place. So we don't want to give him place. And that has multiple facets. Let's go over to 1 John. Let's turn over there. 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 18. It says, my children, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. But notice that, exactly what we've been saying, verse 20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If your heart is condemning you, you will not be confident before God and usually before people. You may put on a facade. I mean, you won't be really confident. You can put on a facade with people. But real confidence, you can see confidence in another person. When somebody, the gentleman I saw the other day, and I've seen him before, he won't look you in the eye. I see him in a certain place at different times, but every time, you know, just when he's coming down the hall, you know, look, just to say hi, he'll be like this, just avoiding eye contact. Why does that happen? It's because people are feeling condemned. They're feeling beat up. You don't have confidence with people. You don't have it with men, and you don't have it with God. And when you go to pray, or you go to speak the word, if your heart's condemned, you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, you're wasting your time. Because this is not hocus pocus. You might as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. It'd do you just as much good if you're condemned and you're not in faith and you're gonna pray, but you're not doing it in faith. It won't do any good. I said it won't do any good. There's different reasons why people don't get results, but it pretty much comes down to a lack of faith, in one sense or another. And condemnation will rob you of every piece of faith you have. If you walk in condemnation, you feel beat up, you don't have the boldness to believe that God will answer your prayer. Or that he'll do, that your word will come to pass. Because you don't feel worthy, because you're looking somehow, Satan has clouded your vision. And that's exactly where he wants us. He does not want us here. Verse 22. Or verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, We have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. The enemy does not want you there. Whatever you ask, you're going to receive according to His will, of course. According to His Word, you don't pull something out of left field and try to receive. No, that's another. You don't do that. But if it's according to what God has said, you'll receive it. And if you're receiving it, that means you're going forth with God's word, is God's will on this earth. If you're going forward with God's will on this earth, you're tearing up somebody's territory. And that's the enemy's. See, He does not want Christians here, bold, walking around. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Boom, you receive it. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Boom, you receive it. Because if He has a whole army coming against Him like that, it's only going to be a matter of time before we have this thing wrapped up and everybody has heard the gospel and we're in heaven. But if He can keep people down and beat up and feeling unworthy, then you're like, God says to do something, and you're like, no way, I don't feel like I have the guns to do that. Somebody else can do it. I don't really believe anything would happen. Nothing's going to happen then. And there's a lot of Christians in this area. Because the church, for centuries, has beat people up to feel like we're unworthy and focused on what we do and don't do, and holy living is very important. And we'll talk about that part. But we're going to walk through this life, and you and I are not going to walk it out perfectly. We are going to make mistakes, and this is where we need to know what the Word says and what Jesus has done so that we can get up and we can keep going on. Because if you have to walk it perfect in order to be condemnation-free, you might as well hang it up now. Because you won't walk the rest of your life perfect. And that's not a statement of unbelief, that's fact. We're not, none of us. We're human. That doesn't mean we expect failure. It means we're just not going to walk it out perfect. You're going to miss it at some point. And what do you do when you miss it? What do we need to do? We're going to talk about that. We need to jump right back up and not let it steal, not get into condemnation. Condemnation is the worst thing you can do. Because you are doomed to repeat it again if you're going to condemn yourself, beat yourself up for it. You will stay there, and you will repeat the same thing over and over and over. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's go over to John 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. John 3. Verse 16. John 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to set men free. But notice the end of that verse. In verse 20 and 21, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. The light, and we talked about this several weeks ago, and that those messages are on the web. Think on these things. The parts 5 through 7 go into this quite extensively, but we talked about light, and light, Jesus is light. The Word is light. God's truth is light. And as light comes, we step into greater understanding. But notice what he said. He said, evil hates light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So we don't want, if we blow it, we don't want to run from the light. We want to run to the light. The person that wants to cover his sin will move and try to run away from the light. A lot of things are done in darkness, not in the light of day. And we got to know that if we blow it, we miss it. The thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to run away from the light, the Lord, and God, and try to hide and then start beating ourselves up about it. What you want to do is go directly to Him. Deal with it. Put it out in the open and expose it. This is the way to be free and to be confident. This is why Jesus came. We just read it. He did not come to condemn us. He is not a hard taskmaster. Sin is a hard taskmaster. Satan is a hard taskmaster. Satan would love for us to believe that following his ways, as appealing as certain things may look on the surface, they always lead to death. He would like us to stay in that. Do those things and stay there, and what it inevitably results in is condemnation for people. They can try to cover it up. This is why people run from God in the world. This is why people they may not realize it, but they're condemned. People know they're doing the wrong thing, and if God would require me to do anything different, I don't want to have anything to do with Him, so I run away. Then they're not realizing that God Himself wants good, and that if they would run to Him, they could be set free. But the trick is, and the deception is that somehow if we run to God, things will get worse. Why would you think that? If you thought that He was an unjust God, that He was going to throw the book at you when you came. But that's why Jesus came. Is so that we had a way to walk through this earth so we could be righteous by faith and not by what we do. Now, we're not saying what we do is important. It's very important because we don't want to give the enemy place. See, when we sin, when we miss it, we give him an opportunity in our life. It's right there. What do we do at that point? Do we keep the door open or we shut it down? If we shut it down, he has no advantage. He has nothing to accuse. If we leave it open and start beating ourselves up, we're not helping anybody. It may feel like we're helping somebody. Somehow we're doing penance, but it doesn't do any good. It just hurts us. And it'll hurt everybody around you. I mean, don't make no mistake. If you blow it to beat yourself up, feels good in a warped sense. Because you feel like, because you're condemned, you're feeling condemned, so you feel like somebody has to pay. And so you will get sick this way. Sickness, if you feel like I've messed up and I've done all this, if you don't deal with it, your body can react and start where you open yourself up to stuff. Your immune system isn't what it should be. I mean, the Bible says that a merry heart does good like medicine. Why? You can't be completely merry and condemned at the same time. No, if you're happy and carefree, your immune system is in overdrive. They've shown this just in the natural. Just looking up and just being happy about stuff will have people get better. Our immune system is built like this, and when we are depressed and feeling like somebody's got to pay, something starts shutting down and doesn't work the way it's supposed to. And now on top of it, you're sick, and you're like, "Well, I blew it. I should probably deserve it." But God doesn't want it that way. And that's why he sent the Lord Jesus to die for us. Not so that we could go out and do whatever we want, nothing would ever happen. You're playing with fire if you do that. That's where people will go over here and say, "Well, see, it just doesn't matter." No, it matters. And we talked about that a little bit last week. It matters, but when we're going through life and we blow it, what do we do then? We want to do the right thing. We need to run to him. Let's turn over to glory to God. Where do we go? Praise God. Let's go. We just got done. Let's go, since we're in John, right? Yeah, let's go over to John 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. John 8, verse 2. It says, "Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.' Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Verse 8, "And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last." Condemning somebody and judging somebody is very dangerous. Because we may read that what you do when you condemn somebody else, be careful. Because you judge somebody else, you condemn somebody else, a lot of time it's not too long, the enemy's going to get on your case about something. The best thing is to sow mercy. Sow mercy. Don't sow judgment. Don't sow judgment. Sow mercy. Look on your sheet. We'll get back to John. Look on your sheet, though, in Luke. Luke 6:37, it says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned." That's a trick. That's a trap. And it's pride. Because there is one judge. He is the Almighty, and he is the only one qualified to judge a human spirit. He's the only one qualified. It's not our job to judge somebody else. If we'll just stay away from that, just stay on God's side. I'm not saying we don't uphold what is just, but there's a difference between that and judging the intents of the heart and what somebody's done. We can judge behavior. That's different. Now go back to John. So verse 9, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He is the light. And he said, if you'll follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're not going to walk apart from God's word. But he said, he told the lady, "I'm not condemning you either, but go and sin no more." He told her, "I'm not going to condemn you," but he didn't say, you know, "Never, it's not a big deal. Don't worry if you do it again." He said, "Don't do it again. Stay away from it, but you came to me, go. You're free." And that's God's attitude towards sin. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt people around us. We don't want to mess with it. But if we blow it, we need to run to Him. As fast as you can, run to Him, get it settled, and don't give the enemy one moment to beat you up about it. Turn over to Romans. Go back to Romans, where we started, Romans 8. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Actually, let's go back to Romans 5 before we go to 8. Romans 5, 16. Praise God. Let's just go back to verse 12, Romans 5, verse 12, and read it from there. It says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came through one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification or acquittal. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. This is painting a picture of how sin came into the world and judgment through sin. Because Adam sinned, there came judgment. But because of what Jesus did, if we'll look to Him, then we're justified. And if we'll walk according to the light, we won't experience condemnation. If we'll deal with it according to God's word. Now jump over to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's read verse 1. That's where we started with. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Look at that right there. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you sin and you get beat up, and you sin and you get beat up. The law of Jesus Christ has made me free from that law. Because He paid the price, if I blow it, if I'll run to Him and turn from it, repent, there is no judgment for that. Satan has nothing to accuse us with. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there's two things here. If we'll walk according to the Spirit, be led by your Spirit, walk according to your spirit man. So you're in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, you're in Christ Jesus. We need to walk according to the Spirit. If we'll walk according to that inward man, and if we do blow it, you don't walk according to the flesh. If you walk according to the flesh, the Bible clearly says that's death. You don't want to go there and do that repeatedly and dwell there. We open our door to condemnation. But if we blow it, we need to be spiritually minded, conscious of what Jesus has done. We need to run to Him and say, I blew it, forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, turn away from it, and it stops Satan from working in our life. And we don't have to be condemned. Those videos that he had, he might try to bring them. But he might try to show them. And if you will stand, if we'll stand on what Jesus did, if we'll be confident in the fact that that's why Jesus came. So if I miss it, I say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for that. Cleanse me. Boom, we're cleansed. It's as if it was erased. Now, I'm not saying there's things, you know, if you do certain things, like we've said before, you know, if I go rob a bank and they catch me, it's not like the police officer can go, oh, well, you asked for forgiveness for it? Okay, well, we're not going to persecute or prosecute you. They're going to. So there are laws that you don't want to violate for men's law. You don't want to go shoplift something. And they'd be like, well, I asked God to forgive me, so I'm okay, right? Well, no, we broke a law of men. But as far as God's concerned, if we'll go to Him, we're free and clear. So if there's something that we do in our life and we miss it, one, go to God, two, go to the person, get it taken care of and say, I'm sorry, I blew it, forgive me. If they don't forgive you, that's their problem. You can't control other people. But you do what God has told you to do. Agree with Him. Say, God, I'm sorry I blew it. Then the enemy tries to go and accuse you. He has nothing to accuse you. If you'll stay with what God's Word says, He might try to go show it to you and it will be blank. If you're standing on the Word of God, you say, no, that's gone. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you know what you did. Yeah, but I also know what the blood of Jesus did, and I've already taken care of that. That's behind me. God said He removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. As far as God's concerned, it's over. It's done. And condemnation, unless you allow yourself to be condemned, has no place. There is no condemnation. If we'll stick with that, we have to know what the Word says and say, no, I already took care of that. So I'm free. 1 John 1:9, we've gone over it before. You know, if you sin, take it to Him. Let's just turn over there. I know we've gone over it at different times, but for some people that weren't here, let's just turn over there real quick so we can close this loop. But you can't, when you close it, you need to just drop it and have faith that the Word of God means what it says and that there is no condemnation, and don't allow yourself to feel condemnation, and you will be free from the effects of condemnation. It won't have a place in your life. Hallelujah. Go over there real quick. 1 John. Verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1:8, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No condemnation. No condemnation. Say, Lord, I blew that. I'm sorry. Now you go forward and you're bold. Now you go. You need something and you go before Him to ask. If your faith is in His Word, then you are clean as if you never did anything. Now it's out of His mind. It should be out of ours. And now we go with boldness. Now I can have faith. And if the enemy tries to bring up this thing that I did, you say, oh no, I took care of that. Shut up, accuser. I've taken care of it. I believe God. And you go with boldness. And now you're back in that position where we talked about in 1 John 3, where what we receive, what we believe, when our heart's not condemning us, whatever we ask for according to the will of God, we receive it. And we receive it. And yeah, if we stumble, we get right back up. We run to the light. We take care of it. And now we just get right back up. And we don't allow condemnation to take root in our life and start pulling us down. Hallelujah. It's stay there. You mean we can just walk that way? Yeah. It's awesome. Just walk through life. Not because we're perfect, but because Jesus was perfect and is perfect. And so when we believe it, and we act on it, and we just go and say, no, God took care of that. I agree with Him. I say, I turned my back on what I did. It was wrong. Lord, cleanse me. No judgment. Accuser has nothing to work with. No condemnation. Free. No hammer. Like the hammer was there, took the hammer out of your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.